Hello there. Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 207 on July 10th, 2018. It is later in the evening. I have delayed and procrastinated getting this podcast started because it's been so freaking hot here all day long. And it's at that time of day where I've got the fans going from the outside to the inside because now the house is hotter than it was earlier. Earlier the house was cooler. And I'm sticky and I'm cranky, and it's been the third day in a row that it's been really hot. First day was 106, second day was 103. I didn't look today. It felt a little cooler. And this morning I got up and found an ant attack in my kitchen. A very big ant attack. Took me an hour and 45 minutes to clean it all up. I mean, I kind of had to do the dishes at the same time, which is not my job, I'm just saying. We trade off and trade jobs here at the house. But yes, it's been a difficult day. So part of me just wants to not do this, but I can't do that to you guys. So here I am, sitting down, sticky and hot, with the fans going, recording for you. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging aficionados from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER. That's RYDER. And if you'd like some assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Okay, we got that out of the way. Let's do an update on donations and patrons.
Yes.
I have a one-time donation from Michael for $24. Michael, thank you so much for the generous donation. Really, really appreciate it. And let's get to your letters now. This is from the forum, and this person's first language is not English, so it's going to sound a little bit different. Hello, everybody. First of all, I would like to thank you, Ruby, for this amazing works of documentation. It's very helpful for beginners like me. I have one little question. How do you know or recognize a harness double dildo is compatible? Is there a specific shape or system that allows you to wear a double? I saw many harnesses, and there is only a few descriptions saying that it's compatible, but I can't figure out the difference. I think for most of them that didn't properly says it, that's an oversight. I really want to buy this. Do you think it can work? I have read all the things you said about double and beginners, which I truly trust you, but considering the price, I would like to be sure if I want to switch to a double in the future, it can work. Thanks. Greetings from Belgium. Belgium, thank you so much for the question, and it came in today, which is perfect timing for me to answer it on the podcast. So pretty much all of the harnesses sold over at Entice Me are double harness compatible, except for the plus size ones that are made by Sport Sheets. We do have those on the website as well, and those have a solid back to them so they don't have a hole that goes all the way through. But all of the spare parts harnesses are doubles compatible, and all of the Aslan harnesses are also doubles compatible. So you don't really mention which one you're looking at, but if you're looking at either one of those, it will work perfectly fine. And yes, I think it's important to check first when you're spending a good chunk of money. Absolutely. So let us know how it goes for you, and thank you for the question. I hope whichever harness you choose, you have lots and lots of pegging fun with. Okay, the next email. We heard back from the guy that I actually chastised just a little bit about using spit for lube. He wrote that amazingly erotic story that I read to you about, I think it was a Friday afternoon or something, and it was pretty hot, but I kind of dressed him down for using spit as lube, and he wrote back. Hi, Ruby. I recently wrote in about a pegging experience with my wife that involved using spit as lube. I know it sounds weird, but I actually have found that I like using spit more than lube. When I initially started pegging, I tried a number of lubes, including Astroglide, KY Jelly, Boy Butter, Aloe Cadabra, and Slickwood Silk. Slickwood Silk was by far the best lube I used. I thought it worked really well and wasn't too messy. However, one day, when I was out of lube, I decided to try spit instead and have never gone back to lube since. When using spit, I find that I have to start anal play with one finger and slowly work up to more fingers while often adding more spit. At this point, I'm usually warmed up enough to start pegging. I can tell because my ass will begin to feel very slick inside. I then spit on the dildo and slowly slide it in. Sometimes this can take a few tries. Once the dildo is inside me, it takes a few minutes of grinding and slowly riding on the toy before I'm ready for thrusting. Occasionally, I'll have to stop to spit on my hand and finger myself to re-lubricate. My pegging sessions usually aren't that long, I'm guessing 5 to 10 minutes max, so maybe that's why it works for me. Another factor for why it may work well for me is that I have fairly smooth silicone toys, the Tantus O2 Atom and the Fuse Alpha. Some nice things about spit are it isn't sticky, it doesn't have any lingering residue or smell, and it is free. Anyway, I just wanted to add to the knowledge base. I'm not saying anyone should use spit instead of lube. I just wanted to let you know it has worked well for me for the past few years. And he signs it, Happy Receiver. So yes, indeed, I suppose it is working well for you. I love that sign-off. Interesting how you describe your process, because almost what it sounds like to me is that because you're using the spit, it's slowing you down a bit, so that you're making sure you do enough foreplay. And also you keep talking about adding more spit and adding more spit. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's got a lot of spit. Or she does, or your wife does, right? So I imagine when there's two people there, maybe the combined level of spit is optimum for this kind of pegging. And yes, since it was only 5 to 10 minutes, maybe that's why. But thank you for elaborating. I didn't mean to give you a hard time. I don't want newbies to come on here and think that they can spit and have it work just fine. I'm really invested in having a nice, cushiony ride when you peg, especially for the newcomers. And I'm so glad that this method, though, works for you. It sounds like you got it down. So I appreciate you writing back and straightening me out a bit and adding to the knowledge base. Okay, this I found on Reddit. I am a 45-year-old married male, been with my wife around 25 years. She was not my first, but I was hers. As a teen, I recall playing around back there in an exploratory way. I discovered that I liked how it felt. As a teen, there was certainly not the same availability of specialized anal toys or even regular sex toys, for that matter. I certainly used some objects that today I would never even consider. Internally, I never viewed my behavior as anything gay or bisexual. I just liked the way it felt. If you read Reddit Sex Today, you would think that every male is doing anal play, but it certainly wasn't the norm back then, or at least it wasn't something that people talked openly about. Through the years, I would occasionally dabble with anal play when I had a more drawn-out masturbation session, but with a very active sex life, those sessions were pretty rare, maybe a couple times a year. I never shared any of this with my wife. I mean, why would I? I didn't want her to think I was any weirder than she already did. Over the years, the wife and I became more open to toys. When we started dating, it wasn't too much longer that she got her first vibrator. From that one toy, the collection eventually became all sorts of things. Vibrators, dildos, and eventually butt plugs. If my wife ever questioned any new or weird toy, I would just say, "Oh, you know when you order from Adam and Eve, they send you free gifts." Laugh out loud. So, us being into toys for our playtime surely made it easier for me to have a few things here and there for when I wanted to play. Fast forward to about 3 years ago when we took the Mojo upgrade. We both discovered a few things, but of course we will focus on the anal parts for this story. My wife will occasionally be in the right mood for anal on the third full moon every odd year when it's raining, but I would be up for it any time. To the best of my recollection, the answers went something like this. Her being anally penetrated with fingers, yes. Me being anally penetrated with fingers, yes. Her being anally penetrated with toys, if my partner is interested. Me being anally penetrated with toys, yes. This sparked the conversation, and she admitted that while she was not surprised, she didn't know it was something I was into. She knows I am a kinky fuck, but never really thought about it, I guess. I told her I was pretty much up for anything, so yeah, this would certainly be something I'd be willing to try. After that, she would do some fingering when giving me a blowjob, and even sometimes while we were having sex. Good times, I really enjoy it. It can really make me come hard, and it feels great. Not sure why, but both my wife and I have noticed that my drive has been through the roof for the last year or so. We still have sex 3 or 4 times a week, but sometimes I just need a bit more stimulation, so I will take care of myself. Some of these sessions are more frequent and intense. My wife needs her beauty sleep, so she can be in bed at 9:30 or 10 sometimes, which leaves me with plenty of time to play. Most recently, I have been using either a prostate massager while edging and jerking off. Sometimes I will use a 6x5-inch dildo, and sometimes I use a 9x6-inch one, depending on how I feel. I have become pretty comfortable with ass play, and I at this point do not need a lot of prep work or working up to things. We are also lucky enough to have a sex machine that I can use, but that takes more of a bit of planning to use with kids, etc. I like the sex machine because it gives me the ability to turn off the part of my brain that is controlling the toy. I can just focus on feeling good, and the machine can do the work. It's a great addition, but understand it's not an option for everyone. So where is all of this going? If you have ever spent any time on any sort of message board that talks about sex, you might have read, "I want my partner to peg me, but I don't know how to bring it up." Look, I get that it might be difficult for someone to straight up never mention anything about anal, and then all of a sudden tell your partner, "Hey, I was thinking, would you mind strapping on a cock and fucking me with it? Yeah, that would be great, thanks." I can see that going very badly most of the time. As I mentioned, I realized that coming out of left field with something like that to a partner who had no prior knowledge of you liking anal could be quite jarring to some partners. This leads me to my point. It was easier for me to finally really come out with my desires because the seeds had already been planted. This was far from the first introduction to this type of activity. So this past weekend, wife and I were in the pool. It was later in the evening. Our son passed out on the couch inside watching a movie. Wife and I were getting a bit frisky, some making out, groping, being silly and playful. We both were exploring each other's bodies while we made out. She was rubbing my cock, squeezing my ass, etc. She started pressing and poking around my asshole, and with all of the other stimulation, it felt really good. She really was getting me all worked up. I won't turn this into erotica, but after much teasing and foreplay, I was ready to go. Me: "You really need to stop teasing me like this. You're driving me crazy." Her: "What do you mean?" Me: "You playing with me like that is driving me crazy. It makes me want to have you try and make me orgasm from a prostate massage." Her: "I don't know how to do that." Me: "Honestly, yeah, me neither. But that just means we have to practice," with a smile. Her: "I'm down for trying anything with you. Sounds like it could be fun. How do I learn how to do it?" Me: "We will take our time and we will figure it out as we go. I think we just experiment and see what works." Her: "What if I'm not good at it or I don't like doing it?" Me: "Then we don't do it anymore, ha ha." Her: "How do you want to do it, with my fingers or with a toy?" Me: "I was thinking toys, since you already used fingers, and while I like that, I think I would like to try a toy." You still have that harness for a dildo, and you can use that. Her, okay, we can do that. Me, okay, let's go. I know where the harness is. Her, oh, you mean now? I was like, ready to go. I softly floated the idea. She agreed to do it, and we both had a few relaxing cocktails, so no better time than the present, I think. My wife quickly brought me back to reality, though, when she hesitated. She was concerned, rightly so, that this is probably something we should do when we have a little more privacy with the kids out of the house. Yeah, we can lock the door and all that, but she was right. We should not rush it, and make sure we are both completely relaxed and in the right mindset. So there it is. I'm hoping that anyone reading can read between the lines of how I was able to softly introduce the idea and eventually work up the courage to tell her my full desires. Baby steps, planting seeds, communicating about desires, feeling comfortable, feeling confident, slightly buzzed, laugh out loud, all of those things made it a gradual conversation over time instead of a blitzkrieg of information to your partner. Now, to find an overnight babysitter. Laugh out loud. So, you know, I've got podcast 112 out there, and this is not something that was sent to me. It was something that I found on one of the pegging groups, and I thought you all would enjoy listening to it, because while I have 112 and all that, there are lots of different ways to approach your partner. Certainly, podcast 112 addresses all of the concerns and everything, but this couple was kind of at a different place and didn't seem to have those misconceptions and assumptions, at least she didn't. And so, yes, gradually, slowly, little by little, I love this guy's idea. And it was lovely hearing the description of how it all went down. And you've heard me talk about Mojo Upgrade before. You've absolutely heard me talk about that. That's a really cool thing for couples, definitely. So yes, I hope you enjoyed that. I'll put the link to it in the Linkorama if you want to read it again and any of the comments that people made. Okay, let's go on to the next one. This was in the forum. My wife and I were flipping through pages last night, and we found the links in your first post here. Those are hot. And what he's talking about is links to video clips, porn video clips, pegging porn, basically. And, you know, the kind of stuff that Patreon won't let me have on my website if I'm going to link to my website. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's what they were looking through. My wife and I were flipping through pages last night, and we found the links in your first post here. Those are hot. On the second link, those two are having a ton of fun. My wife was getting pretty turned on with their language and dirty talk. Right around the 11 minutes and 5 second mark, the woman has an orgasm. Then she calls him, "You little fucking whore, you fucking cock whore." That's when my wife lost it. She came all over herself. We've been working on incorporating more dirty talk during our sessions. My wife said, "You want me to orgasm while I'm fucking your ass? Talk dirty to me like that." And I wanted to read that to you because dirty talk is something that different people really enjoy, but for their partners, it doesn't necessarily come really naturally. Normally, dirty talk can be sort of faked if you just sort of describe what's going on, throw in a little profanity, you know, instead of calling it a penis, call it a cock or a dick or whatever you like, and not use the clinical terms. But if you just describe what's happening, sometimes you can fake it and get away with the dirty talk. Like, "I am watching my cock, my bright pink cock, slide into your ass so slowly right now, and it's fucking gorgeous." That kind of thing. Just describe what you see, or describe what you're going to do. "When we're done here, I'm going to grab you up and blah, blah, blah," whatever. So you get the point. But how fun. I think that you should, and this is the response that I gave him on the forum, clearly you have to watch it again and do a little studying. Because that's the kind of dirty talk that she wants. And it's so fun sometimes to sit down with your partner and figure out what those words are, you know, and how cool that while watching a video, she landed on one and went, "That is how I want you to talk to me." Because, you know, one word can make or break it. That's the thing, you know. If anybody calls, I know sometimes in different cultures, it's like an endearing term, and it's not meant to be the literal, but I've been called mama before by Hispanic men. Hey, mama. And I'm like, I am so not your fucking mama. So this is, I'm telling you this because this is an example of not using the right word because of how it lands with me. But that's me, particularly me. And I know there's also guys out there who absolutely hate their penis being called a cock. They really, really prefer dick or whatever else. I don't know. Maybe they have a name for it. But my point here is that everybody has preferences. And when you go into the land of the dirty talk, then you get to share your preferences and share the words that particularly turn you on and the combinations that turn you on if you know them. And if you don't know them, pay attention the next time you are watching some porn to the stuff that really turns you on that people say. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad that you got a line in on the dirty talk. Okay, here's the next one. Hi, Ruby. First, let me thank you for all your tireless work promoting and educating the masses about pegging. Pegging has been an amazing addition to our sex lives, and I'm a Patreon supporter because I believe in your work. Anything that helps you spend more time spreading the word one ass at a time is worth it. My wife and I first tried pegging several years ago and have amassed a healthy collection of equipment over the years. I wish we could use it more often, but with two kids and both of us working, the opportunities are limited. Despite that, we do get to engage in a good pegging session about once a month or so. We started with an Aslan Jag, and it was awkward for my wife to adjust properly. She certainly never got to the point you have described as locking the dildo in place. It always seemed to slip or shift and became uncomfortable for her to wear. She ended up having to hold the dildo in place as she tried to peg me. I bought a Minx thinking that would help solve the problem, but to no avail. Same problems. Last year, I bought a spare parts tomboy, and she loved it. No straps or adjustments. Just insert the dildo, slip it on, and she's ready to ride my ass. I'll add that she does a great job of that. After much experimenting, we found our favorite position is with me on my back at the edge of our bed, and her standing between my legs. I have had earth-shattering orgasms with her pounding my ass while stroking my cock. Being able to kiss and fondle each other in this position makes it a very hot way to enjoy our pegging sessions. She gets good leverage like this, and I'm the prime benefactor as she pounds me hard and sends me into orbit. That leads me to my question. Having heard you recommend the Aslan harnesses so often, I want her to enjoy what you enjoy. We have a Fuse Tango, a Wild, and a Vanilla Ultra, as well as a Wee Vibe Tango. I would love for her to be able to use these with the Tango Vibe inserted and held snugly against her clit. It would be so hot to see her orgasm as she fucks me. The tomboy has too much flex for that kind of sustained contact, but she has lamented that the Aslan harnesses are too awkward to adjust properly and move out of position. She also doesn't like the feeling of the loose ends of the straps flapping against her legs. If you or your readers or listeners have any suggestions on how to properly adjust the Aslan Minx or Jag for a comfortable, secure fit, I would be most grateful. Perhaps a step-by-step on which straps to adjust first to position the dildo for an optimal placement that won't shift. We have yet to figure out what works best. Thank you for reading my letter, Tim. And Tim, I have to intensely apologize. I was scrolling through all of the things that I've marked, and I've said this so many times, you guys don't need to hear it again, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes in, and every once in a while something falls through the cracks. This got posted in the forum in November of 2017. I'm glad I didn't wait a year, Tim. I'm so sorry. So I'm missing some information here. I am missing information which is important as far as how these harnesses fit her, because I'm curious as to what kind of body type she has. The first thing that I do when I put on the Jaguar or the Minx is I fasten, I step into it and I fasten that waist buckle, okay? And I do a fair amount of adjusting, I have to say. First, I get it on me, and then I grab the toy, the dildo, and I scoot it way down so that the base of it is over my lady bits, clearly the part that has the clit vibe on it, or The insertable part with the Fuse Tango is inside me, clearly, right? I mean, you know, you kind of have to put that in first before you buckle the waist, I have to say. Nonetheless, once you get that in there or get that base right over your vulva area, that's when you start adjusting things. You want that waistband, you want that to go above your hip bones, ideally, because that's what holds it on so well. So when it goes over the hip bones and you're going to have to play with those two straps in back, then you can start tightening everything down. You might have to tighten it a couple of more times in the waist, or you might have to loosen it because you didn't think it had to go down so far. You're giving me some ideas to maybe do a video, even though I haven't really done any videos yet, but clearly I need some visuals for this one. One of the things I do want to recommend is she can tuck those straps in and or cut them off. You don't want to cut them too short, but you know, a lot of times all of the extra that's laying there goes against the legs while you're doing your thing, and it can be distracting, absolutely. So tuck it in underneath the waistband so that it doesn't do that. And you can shorten it to begin with so that there's not that much to tuck in anyway. You know, size it to yourself. It's yours. Make it yours, right? So cut a little bit off, and then you can also tuck it when you use it. But the whole point is getting it as far down as you can. And sometimes that's harder to do if you have a bigger body. So that's why I'm wondering if maybe that's one of the things that she's running into. It is a little bit harder if you have a bigger body down there and if you have a lovely belly flesh that gets in the way a bit. So that might be what's going on. It's impossible for me to know. But that's the best advice I can give you verbally. And I will absolutely put the project of making a visual on the list, Tim, on the list. I mean, one of the things I would offer you, absolutely, especially since you're a patron, is if you want to get on Skype with me and watch me do it, you know, if you want to get on a cam session with me, you and your wife or just your wife, either way, I would be happy to. I would put it on over a pair of jeans or a pair of shorts or something and show you how I do it. So, yes, I would like to make you that offer, no problem. And, of course, that goes for any of my patrons. If you have a question you need, that one of the advantages of being a patron is you definitely have more access to me. So, Tim, I hope I was a little bit helpful at least. Please do take me up on that offer to do a little cam session if that would be helpful. And we can figure this out because it sounds like you have some really nice equipment and you have a lot of it. And that is too lovely of a harness to be sitting there in the drawer. I'm not sure why it's not working quite right, but we can figure it out. Okay, here is something else I found on Reddit. Somebody tagged me on this, and I'm so glad that they did, because basically what it is somebody and the Reddit group Come From Anal. Okay, I don't spend a lot of time there, but maybe I should. Anyway, the reason they tagged me is because this guy went into really intense detail about how to have a hands-free orgasm, a prostate orgasm, basically. And so I'm just going to read it to you. I'll put the link there so you can check out the conversation and the different comments that other people made, because he was very careful to say that this works for him, but that different people are different. Hi, I'm Surfboard Potato, and you might recognize me from a couple of videos on this subreddit. A lot of people had asked me about how to achieve anal orgasms, so here's a write-up about prostate stimulation. This is all just from my experience, and different people can require totally different things. I'll be repeating this below, but it's very important. Prostates do not work like penises. If you're not getting good sensations, you can't fix the problem by going at it harder. Vibrations can work for some people, but I find that all they do is dull feeling and distract me. First of all, my recommended toy for prostate masturbation is always the Aneros line. I use the Helix Sin. A lot of people get frustrated and give up on them because they don't properly read up on how to use them and because the Aneros doesn't do anything. If you do want some additional reading, the Aneros Wiki has a nice guide as well. My other recommended toy is the Enjoy Pure Wand. It's expensive, and you'll need to warm it up with hot water before use, but it's very good for exploring sensations. There's essentially two types of prostate orgasms, with or without ejaculation. The wet orgasm happens when you massage the prostate with deep, hard strokes to force pre-cum out of it. With enough volume, your body is tricked into having an orgasm. This is a lot like a regular penis orgasm in many ways, though the sensations are felt internally. A dry orgasm is a very unique experience, and many people experience it without considering it to be a real orgasm. The mechanism of a dry orgasm, from what I understand, involves filling the prostate with as much pre-cum as it can handle. When you go without ejaculating, pre-cum can build up in the prostate. This pressure is often felt as horniness or a need to come. By getting really horny and lightly tapping on the prostate, it produces pre-cum without actually being drained and replicates this need to come. Imagine trying to fill a sponge with water. You need to squeeze the sponge a little bit so that it can soak up more water, but squeezing too hard will force all the water out of it. A similar principle applies here, where you trick the prostate into making more fluid than what's slowly draining out of it. When you do this for a while, something fucky happens, and you essentially experience a continuous orgasm, parentheses, if you're lucky, / practiced. It has a lot in common with the female orgasm, in that you can go for multiple climaxes and it can cause full-body spasms and moaning. This is, in my opinion, the holy grail of prostate play. Prostates don't work the way penises do, where you can just aggressively stimulate it until you get results. Prostates only work when they're swollen, which is an involuntary response to being really horny. If you're not horny enough, they don't feel good at all. Being horny enough is difficult. It's not about getting an erection. You need to have the whole proper state of mind and psychological sensitivity. Most people here are addicted to porn on some level, and taking a break from porn for 2 weeks or so is a good way to make sure that when you are looking at porn during the session, it works. When you are stimulating a prostate, it's a very subtle sensation. If you're not paying careful attention, it'll get drowned out by other things, like how uncomfortable or tired you are. I recommend against touching your dick, as it's too distracting. Any method of stimulation that requires a lot of work on your part can also be too distracting. I recommend against any toys that require you to hold them for this reason. People who get frustrated will start pounding their prostate too hard. The goal of prostate stimulation is to build up pre-cum in the prostate. The pressure of that fluid is what makes it feel good. Pressing too hard will squeeze the fluid right out of the prostate, potentially setting you back an hour of work. Press very lightly and slowly, then ease up at the first non-pleasurable feelings. Press it down a very small amount, then completely let off so it can refill, like a sponge. Sensations from the prostate can often be delayed, and going too quickly can make it difficult to tell what is and isn't working. If you're not feeling anything from prostate stimulation, there's a good chance you haven't practiced enough to identify what it feels like. While you're really relaxed and horny, gently poke around and just think about what you're feeling. You've probably looked up diagrams of where your prostate is, but your prostate can easily be off-center or in a slightly different position to the norm. It usually manifests as a light tingling feeling inside your tummy. If it feels like an itch you can't scratch, that's really good. Don't try and scratch it. Keep tickling it and making it itchy. If you're not feeling anything, don't start pounding away. If you do all this correctly, you should be feeling a pleasant tingling in your tummy that can, if you're lucky, spread throughout your body. With practice, you can make this tingling reach a climax and experience a dry prostate orgasm. Once the prostate is full to bursting with fluid, you can end the session with a wet ejaculating orgasm. Simply press a bit harder, still taking care not to drain it or lose concentration. I prefer to lie on my front for this part, since it provides a wall for you to press the prostate against. You should start getting sensations that remind you of a regular penile orgasm, except you'll feel them in your prostate. Chase those sensations the same way as you do with penile masturbation, and you can create a wet orgasm. After a prostate orgasm, I typically find that I feel very cuddly, for lack of a better word. It doesn't have the same sudden drop in happiness that characterizes a penile orgasm, and I've taken to using a body pillow, mainly so I have something to squeeze afterwards. For what might be similar reasons, I find that really romantic porn is a lot more effective for prostate sessions. Bear in mind, this all takes a lot of practice, experimentation, and the right tools. It took me several toys and 3 years to get any visible results. If you feel nice sensations, but you don't seem to be getting anywhere, don't change tactic. Just keep generating those nice feelings and enjoy them for what they are. Good luck, and above all, have fun. So this was such a great collection of information and so descriptive of what this guy does. So I looked at the videos that he has up, and he has this interesting way of laying on his stomach, and he wears these cute little skirts and has a beautiful ass. And he tucks his cock and balls down straight, so they're underneath him and pointing down. And one of the people who commented said that this was a huge factor in his being able to reach a prostate orgasm. So I put that on the list. I have a list now of things that can help you reach prostate orgasm. This I wanted to include just because it's such a great collection of information for this one guy. And it has some really specific hints in terms of finessing it, if you will, finer points, as opposed to not just going in for the hard and heavy if it's not working. And that he finds finessing is what really makes the difference. Tuning in to what those feelings are, I think, is a big, big part of it. So I'm going to put the link to all of that. And he has links to the things that he's recommending as well. The toys, which are exactly what I would recommend, the Helix Sin, the Aneros. And yes, the Aneros forum is full of guys talking about how to achieve these orgasms, and they do have an Aneros wiki, which tells you how to use the Aneros device. And it's so much more than just putting it in and leaving it there. It's so much more. It's kind of a meditation, is what it is. It's like a journey inside, if you will, that opens up a different part of you. It's pretty cool. So, yes, all of those links are going to branch off from the one that I put for the Reddit link that this guy talked about. And I will also put links in the Linkorama for the toys that he mentioned, the Enjoy Pure Wand and the Aneros Helix for you that go to enticeme.com. So there you go, adding to the knowledge base. This was a cool one. And read down that thread and see what some other guys have to say. I really like how he closed it, which I try to echo all the time, which is, this is great that you have this goal, that you want to do this thing, and it's cool. But enjoy the journey. Enjoy the good feelings. Enjoy the pleasurable sensations, because it may never get to the Holy Grail thing. But good grief, you are there having all of this pleasure, and it's awesome. So yes, enjoy the journey. And Reddit was a treasure trove of information. I wanted to also tell you that I was following a thread that this woman wrote in and talked about a difference in heights, and that it was difficult for them doing the pegging because she was a full 14 inches shorter than he was, and especially missionary was difficult for them, and doggy style. Those two were particularly difficult, and that she would really like to have a position where she can actively fuck him, as opposed to him having to ride her all the time. So somebody recommended that, right off the bat, somebody recommended that she pull him to the edge of the bed, and so he's laying on his back on the edge of the bed. That is the one that worked magic. The thing is when you have a mismatch of body sizes, or no matter whether it's the 14 inches in height, or it's a different in leg length, or stuff like that, you just got to keep trying stuff until you find something where it works. If I pulled someone to the corner of the bed and tried to fuck them, chances are we would be way too tall, unless it was a really tall bed. So there's that. That worked for her because it was the perfect height for her. So you just have to keep trying stuff until you find that magic formula. And then, of course, all of those sex cushions can work wonderfully. But let me read you what she wrote as the follow-up. So last night, we tried it with him on the edge of the bed, and this is all in caps, it was amazing. I had so much more control over my movements, and he was so sexy and responsive. He said it felt like he came for 10 straight minutes. I'm like, I know how that feels. It was the best, and I am still so turned on thinking about it. Points for next time. Missionary on the edge of the bed worked best for us this time. Of course, like any kind of sex, sometimes different positions feel better at different times. Missionary is my favorite, though, because I get to watch him getting fucked and see his sexy face and play with his dick. I did have to bend my legs a little to get into the right angle, and while it was fine, next time I'm going to try a pillow under his butt. Doggy style did not work as easily this way. Bed was too low for him to lay on the edge, and the view wasn't as good for me. Also, I felt like I had restricted access. I know how good doggy feels, though. I had an idea about that as well. Next time I'll have him on his knees with his feet hanging off of the bed. He should be able to adjust his hips more comfortably like that. Yay! That's what they're doing. They're experimenting and checking out what works and trying different stuff. This is so cool. I love hearing stuff like this because that's kind of what it is just sort of gymnastics, if you will, you know, gentle gymnastics where you're just trying to, you know, move around and see a way that you can match up. And every once in a while, you're watching a porn video and you go, hey, that looks like it'd be really good for us until you try it out. So that is one of the places that you can get ideas about positions, definitely. That's where I got the idea of the side saddle position for women with shorter legs, with the guy laying on his side, his top leg bent, his bottom leg straight. She has one knee in between his legs and one knee behind him. And she's fucking him there and using the top of his hip as a balance point. It's kind of a cool position because it works really well for women with short legs because they're right there. It definitely wouldn't work for me, but it also is cool because you do have sort of a side view of him, his face, and his dick is accessible. So it's a cool position. I like it. And I also really enjoyed how this woman who did the update on the position mentioned, you know, I want the view. It's sort of, it made me think of how women sometimes when they start pegging a guy slip into a little bit of objectification. And I don't mean, you know, demeaning or anything like that, unless that's your kink. I just mean, yeah, we want to see the parts. Yeah, I've said this before. When I first started pegging, I totally understood why there are so many amateur porn videos out there with the camera focused straight down to the cock going into whatever, right? Because it's a beautiful thing to watch. It really is. So that doggy style can feel very powerful and it can be such a beautiful visual. I do miss the facial features and the facial expressions and stuff, but yes, it can be a very powerful dominant position. Indeed. Oh my God. Okay, a few announcements here. The webinars are going great still. I'm having so much fun. Oh my gosh, the last webinar that I had, 8 people were there. The more people, the better. And it's free, everybody. You don't have to pay if you can't afford it, if you're a receiver. And if you're a giver, you're free, period. And if you feel like, wow, she's offering me all this amazing knowledge and I want to give her some money, well, fine. There's a donate button there. It's all good. But please do not hesitate to drop into a class. It works best if you register at least more than an hour ahead of time, because an hour ahead of time, I send out an email to everyone who's registered telling them one more time exactly how to log in to the webinar. So last minute stuff is harder to accommodate, even though people tend to do that. But right now, the webinars I have scheduled are for July 22nd at 1 p.m., July 31st at 7 p.m., and August 8th at 6 p.m. I put a post up on my group in FetLife, Ruby Rogers Pegging Paradise group, about how much I love teaching. And somebody there said, hey, you know, could you schedule one on a Wednesday night? Boom, August 8th. There you go. That's how easy it is. Because even if there's 3 or 4 people there, 2 or 3, I'll teach the class anyway. I love to teach. So please do take advantage of that if you have any inkling of wanting to. Even if you've been a pegger for a long time, there might be a few things that you could pick up. Or you could watch the webinar and tell me something I missed. Of course, what I missed might be in the advanced class, which is not happening yet, but I am working on that one. And there's one more thing I'm going to put in the Linkorama for you, and that is a YouTube video of Brené Brown doing a sermon, I guess you'd call it, at a Catholic church. And Brené Brown always has some amazing things to say. I really enjoyed listening to her. I am not particularly religious. I am spiritual, but organized religion, I can take it and throw it in the trash bag. She has some really cool things to say, and I posted it up on the chat channel, and everybody really seemed to get a lot out of it. So I would suggest if you are a Brené Brown fan, and Brené Brown particularly does well in the areas of shame and vulnerability, which are so linked to exploring pegging so often. They're linked so often, not exploring pegging so often. Even, you get what I mean. Even though there's peggers out there and peggies who absolutely do it quite often. I'm going to put that link in the Linkorama for you guys to check out if you want to. And we are good to go here. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com or have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Or pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website. For any kind of phone you have, you can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too rudimentary, too ribald, or too ridiculous. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or give me a call at 805-500-6544. Thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening. You rock. Happy pegging.